You're listening to Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The majority of Canadians want our army out of Afghanistan. 60% of people who voted for the NDP want troops out. Yet neither the NDP nor any other party in Parliament advocate this. In fact, the leader of the NDP is pushing for the Canadian military to be sent to intervene in Darfur. And when the Prime Minister responded in Parliament that sending our army today means they'll stay once the shooting starts, the leader of the NDP said Harper's response wasn't very clear. That evasion aside, what is happening in Darfur isn't clear to most Canadians, nor is it clear who in North America is central in organizing the popular campaign for military intervention and why they are doing so. It is this aspect where Red Eye begins its exploration of the complex issue of Darfur. On the line is Jeff Blankfort. He's a community radio programmer in Northern California, a frequent contributor to Counterpunch, and a close analyst of organizations that lobby on behalf of the Israeli government. Good morning, Jeff, and welcome to Red Eye.
Good morning, Mordecai.
On Sunday, April 30th, there were rallies in Washington, D.C., in New York, also here in Vancouver. They were all part of a coordinated North America-wide day of action on Darfur. What groups organized these demonstrations?
Well, initially, even the Jerusalem Post acknowledges this. Darfur was seized upon by certain Jewish organizations in the United States as an issue. And the issue has been presented or distorted in the American media, which has collaborated with it. We have a situation in which these organizations saw a way to ally themselves with black Americans against Arabs. And so most Westerners, Americans, Canadians believe that you have Arab militias known as the Janjaweed who are committing genocide against black Darfurians in Western Sudan. This was one of the leading fomenters of this position is a woman named Ruth Messenger, a longtime New York politician and failed candidate for mayor, who became the head of something called the American Jewish World Service, which started about 1985, at the time Israel was occupying Lebanon. And she wrote in the Jewish Forward that, to give the idea what the spin was, that she wrote, in February 2003, two rebel groups in Darfur, which we don't hear about very much, the Sudanese Liberation Movement Army and the Justice and Equality Movement, attacked government outposts in northern Darfur, demanding greater political and economic representation for black farmers living in western Sudan. The fact of the matter is all of these folks involved are black, and they are all Muslim. There are Christians in southern Sudan, which is the largest country in Africa, but that's another issue altogether. So the image in the West is Arabs on horses, brown-skinned Arabs looking like Osama bin Laden, committing mass murder on innocent black civilians in Darfur. This is a tragedy there. It's not genocide. It's a civil war, and it's one of the horrible civil wars that are going on in the world today. You have a situation in the Congo, the mineral-rich Congo, in which the minimum estimation of the number of people who died in the last 4 or 5 years is between 3 and 4 million. But there's no political advantage to be gained by anybody raising that issue. And so by raising the issue, the Save Darfur coalition, which has people like Eli Wiesel speaking for it. It has the major Jewish organizations, the Anti-Defamation League, the American Jewish Committee, Jewish Labor Committee, of course the AFL-CIO, which is part of the Israel lobby, B'nai B'rith, the Council of Presidents, the major Jewish American organizations, all on the bandwagon. And of course they have brought in Muslim organizations which are squeezed into a corner because of the spin being played on this. So you have CARE, the Council of American Islamic Organizations, you have Muslim organizations, and you have black speakers like Al Sharpton, who never seizes an opportunity or misses an opportunity to speak somewhere. So you have this image created of a situation in which they are now demanding a UN intervention.
But you mentioned the Muslim organizations and CARE, which is the one of the largest Muslim organizations in the United States, and they were complaining that though they had been signatories of the initial formation of this Save Darfur coalition, when it came to the Washington rally, nobody from their organization was invited to speak. In fact, when they sent a letter asking for somebody to be able to speak, they never even received a reply, and that there weren't even people from Darfur who were going to be speaking until Sudanese immigrants protested the fact that the listed speakers were 8 Western Christians, 7 Jews, and 4 politicians.
Exactly. They finally were able to, they finally did have some Sudanese speakers, and that's right. So you see, when the, even though the Muslim organizations endorsed this, they were excluded. You had speakers were speaking that day, Christian ministers, you had New Jersey Governor John Corzine, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. You had the colleges sending buses, Hillel chapters, 50 students from North Park University, a Christian evangelical liberal arts college. Howard University, a black university in Washington, had 20 to 30 students, which is not a great deal. There has been criticism by these Jewish organizations that there wasn't enough of an African-American participation. But it's clearly seen by anyone close to it that this is kind of an opportunistic grab for headlines and a way to shift attention from what Israel is doing to the Palestinians, as well as from the U.S. war in Iraq.
I read an article from the Jewish Weekly in the United States, Forward, on April 21st, before the April 30th demonstration, where they seemed to be expressing the worry that there would be too much obvious Jewish participation and not enough response from other communities that they were trying to mobilize, and that they didn't want to be seen, they didn't want this campaign to be seen as largely financed by pro-Israeli Jewish community organizations.
Well, it turned out that the people attending were predominantly Jewish. This was acknowledged. They did get a number of headline speakers, George Clooney, the actor, of course, Elie Wiesel, but in terms of drawing populations from outside the Jewish community, it was not a great success. Unfortunately, they didn't need to have that because they got the headlines they wanted. And now you have this pressing demand for UN intervention in a country, as I say, that's the largest in Africa, and the Darfur region is the size of France.
You mentioned that they received a lot of publicity. The organizers met with Bush before the demonstration. There was reports of it in the press, and it does contrast rather remarkably with a very large demonstration against the war in New York the week before, which got minimal coverage in the mainstream American media.
A demonstration that was maybe seven times as large, minimally seven times as large. I checked actually through the coverage of the Darfur demonstrations, and it was tremendous. It was all over the Western media, whereas anti-war demonstrations traditionally get minimum coverage. Now, it's also interesting when you do Google on news references, the number, despite the fact the situation in the Congo is far worse, and I don't mean to diminish situation in Darfur. It's a tragic situation, and unfortunately it's being exploited. But there are three times as many references to the news stories coming out of Darfur as there are from the Congo, which is a country that has experienced much more suffering than any other country by far since the last 100 and some odd years, beginning with the colonization by the Belgians, and that Holocaust, that genocide of the people of the Congo back in the late 1900s, is still never talked about.
So the issue of Darfur is put forward, and as a way of, you're arguing, of both diverting attention from Israeli oppression of Palestinians in the occupied territory, where now there's an enforced starvation on people, to cultivate connections again with the Black American community. People, as you say, are still concerned with Darfur. There is a tragedy, as you mention, and I guess the question boils down to, does this campaign help people or not understand the complexities of the nature of the Darfur conflict? You began by sort of addressing that question. I wonder if we could return to that.
I think the intention of the people organizing this, which includes, by the way, the U.S. Holocaust Museum, which is comparing it to another Holocaust, the intention was not to save the people of Darfur. As a matter of fact, it should be pointed out that 160 Darfurians are in prison in Israel. They had gone to Egypt, and there had been riots there, and they had been helped to get in across the water to get into Israel, and they have been arrested. 160 are in prison there, and as Muslims, they have no legal rights in prison there. Getting back to this, one of the main issues or on the Israel lobby agenda for years has been control of the Black political agenda in the United States. And over the years, there's been a real falling away between not so much Black leadership, but like the Congressional Black Caucus is totally in the pocket of the Israel lobby. With the exception of Cynthia McKinney, they all voted for the Iran Freedom Act the other day, which was another AIPAC creation. But they really want to show that they're not racist and that they have been reaching out to the Black community. In fact, long before the Darfur situation became the headlines, I noticed the Forward started writing, having very good articles about situations in Africa on the front page of the newspaper. Now, why did the Forward have articles about what's going on in Black Africa on the front page of the newspaper when they had no connection to Israel or the Jewish community? And this, it seems, was an effort to reach out to disaffiliate or dissatisfied Black Americans who are very suspect of the Israel lobby and the organized Jewish community, because there's nothing going, what's going on in South America or Asia, for example. And so this was kind of led up to the Darfur situation and the coming together of the Save Darfur coalition. One of the people involved in it is a man named Rabbi Mark Schneier. And Mark Schneier is known, from among other things, as fabricating quotes by Martin Luther King connecting anti-Zionism to, or equating anti-Zionism to anti-Semitism. And he is working with a hip-hop mogul named Russell Simmons, African-American, who has started a campaign of Black Americans opposing anti-Semitism. So you see, this is all part of a larger program that's designed not to help the people of Darfur, in my opinion, but to ingratiate a besieged American Jewish establishment, besieged over its treatment of the Palestinians. And now you have, for example, the exposure of the Israel lobby in the mainstream press by John Mearsheimer of Chicago and Professor Stephen Wald of Harvard. They are looking for allies. And I think this Darfur campaign is part of that, to rehabilitate the Jewish establishment in the eyes of Black Americans as well as the rest of America.
Well, thank you very much for those insights, Jeff.
You're very welcome, Mordecai.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Right. I've been speaking with Jeff Blankford. He's a radio programmer and producer in Northern California. He writes for many publications, including Counterpunch, and he's an analyst of organizations who lobby on behalf of the policies of the Israeli government in the United States.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.